I'm grateful that you stayed behind. And the beautiful family just came from Hong Kong this morning. About 4 o'clock they arrived, and they are staying all day long today. And so that should be a challenge to all of us to stay up, widely awake. Okay, last week we studied about the fifth commandment, the first portion, and I tried to talk about children's duty and responsibility to honor and respect their parents. And today, we are going to talk about something else, the other side of the truth of God. I think I cannot emphasize too much the importance of this commandment. We have seen crimes against the elderly people in our society, and their words are not being respectful very much toward the senior citizens. We see children in the shopping malls rolling over the floors and shouting at their parents with demands for certain toys or certain items. There is no sense of respect and obedience in their attitudes toward their parents, and the language in their speeches is very disrespectful. It is not too difficult to see that children talk back to their parents and they do not show respect whatsoever. There is no authority shown and exercised in such relationships. Parents are expected to give in always, and teens are showing their rages to their parents without any restraints. It is a problem of a family, obviously, families rather. This problem grows and flows into culture and society in general. You know, how many parents have I met who told me that they are failures because of the upbringings of their children, because of significant amount of problems in their homes, because of the restrained relationship issues between parents and children. Oftentimes, parents are really beating on their chests with sorrows and sadness. It seems that people do not respect authorities. Schools are in trouble because of disobedient and disrespectful students. As children do not show their respect to their parents in their homes, they do not show any sort of respect to their teachers in schools. People have been talking about the failures in public school systems, which affected both the school teachers and parents. Teachers had a hard time to control the students, which keep them from offering good education. And in the meanwhile, parents are really working very hard to afford to send their children to private schools, where better and more disciplines are, even disciplinary actions are offered for those students, and better educations are expected. Police forces are struggling to control rebellious and disobedient youths who do not hesitate to show their antisocial behaviors that disrupt their neighborhood. Even their, you know, they fail to show any sort of respect to the authorities whatsoever. The application of the Fifth Commandment reaches each corner, each and every corner of our society. When people do not respect authorities at home, obviously they do not show respect in the society, in the community generally. The country cannot enjoy the peace because the country is going to lose any sense of protection or security because of so much disruptions and antisocial behaviors on the streets. The Fifth Commandment does not only encourage children to respect and honor their parents, but also encourages parents to raise their children in the path of righteousness since they are very young. Thus, when they grow up, they will be good citizens and children who honor their parents. If we expect that our children will naturally behave very well and respect their parents with right attitude, we must be, I think, dreaming a fantastic dream from which we do not want to wake up. We do not want to wake up from such dreams, and we want to enjoy it as much as possible. We have forgotten an important truth, that our children also have the corrupt nature as much as we have. Right attitude does not come naturally. Obedient children do not come by chance, but they are oftentimes the products of proper education, training, and disciplining according to the instructions by God. The sinfulness of man's heart is also found in the children of God. How rebellious and stubborn people they are. And in fact, if we look at the Old Testament, we will be able to find a lot of examples of the stubbornness and rebellious spirit amongst the children of Israel who were supposed to be God's people. The Lord instructed and disciplined them. Oftentimes, God chastened them so much and away from all those things they had and chastised them because of their rebellious actions and stubbornness and so on. But still, they were rebellious against God. I understand that we all love our children, but our love for them should not blind our eyes to ignore the reality of their sinful hearts, the sinful hearts of our children. Many years ago, I had a student in my youth group, and one day his mother came to me, and she wanted to have a kind of private talk with me, and so I sat down together with her, and I began to listen to her, and she said, "Pastor Key, my son has not come home for the last several nights, and I have a suspicion that he's detained in the detention center. And if I show up in the detention center, he's going to be very much embarrassed. So I hope that you'll be able to go and check whether he's there." So I went to the police station, and through the police station, the help and guidance, and I found the detention center, and lo and behold, he was there. And while I was waiting for him to come out from his cell, I saw a lot of parents anxiously waiting for their children coming out for interviews. And in the meanwhile, I was able to speak to them, and they pulled out their hearts, you know, from their anxieties and a great deal of worries and so on. And I found one very interesting kind of common things from their talks with me, shared emotions and shared thoughts with me. That was something like this: "My son is a very good boy, but for some reason they made wrong friends. They got along with wrong friends, and they are ended up here. My son is ended up in this detention center. It is not because my son is bad. It's not because my son is terrible. In fact, my son is good, but his friends are wrong. That's why he's here." Every one of the parents told me how good sons and daughters they had and how bad friends they had. Well, children need to be taught and properly educated. Children need to be properly taught to honor their parents. Even to honor, to respect their parents, it must be educated. It must be taught. All parents hope and pray that they may mature and bring up their children successfully. We Christians recognize that it is God who has given us children as gifts, and we are responsible to bring them up in the right ways to honor God. However, a problem is that many of us, I think, have not grown up in Christian homes, and though we grew up in Christian homes, we have not received any proper Christian education at home. So when we became Christian parents, because we are parents and we happen to be Christians, when we became Christian parents, we want to have proper Christian education for our children, but in fact, we do not know what to do, because we have never received such an education from our parents who are not Christians. Or they could have been Christians, but they have not been able to give us a proper kind of home education to be brought up in Christian education. Thus, we do not know how to bring up our children in Christian way and God-honoring way and fearing way. Or sometimes such efforts are hindered because of non-Christian environment in our homes, just in case if we are the first generation Christians. We just do not know what to do. And problem does not stop there. We have grown up in a secular environment and secular culture, and now we are Christians. We feel that we are inadequate to educate our children with Christian values and in a proper manner. Especially when our children reach teenage years. Many parents feel not so well qualified to be parents. And if there is any chance to quit, resign, they are, I think, more than willing to quit or take a break or take a holidays from being a parent to those teenage children. We feel that we are really inadequate. Psalm 127:3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." And this is a beautiful verse, and we all cherish the verse, and we know it. However, at times, if there is any chance, we want to take a break from being parents. Children are under their care, their parents' care, and parents are responsible to educate them. It's an awesome privilege, and this is an honor to be able to educate and train up our children in the Lord, but at the same time, it is a duty, it is a responsibility, it is a great deal of burden as well. But the problem is that children have faces of both good and bad angels. When they are sleeping, they look like angels. We want to cuddle them, we want to really show our affection to them. However, when they reach a certain age, we begin to be troubled. Well, today I'm going to talk about parental responsibilities for children's education in order to fulfill the fifth commandment. Let me begin with the principles of children's education. First of all, we must understand that parents are responsible for their children's education. They are primary responsible people for children's education. It is not school's responsibility. It is not teacher's responsibility. It is not church's responsibility. It is not Sunday school teacher's responsibility, but it is the parents' responsibility. I hope that all of us understand that I'm not talking about parents' duty to educate their children with school subjects. Though I would not talk about it, I know that all the parents are very diligently doing the job very well. So I think I do not need to do it. I'm not talking about their schooling, but about home education for religious and spiritual enrichment and spiritual teachings. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, I think teach us a very fundamental principle here. If you don't mind, would you turn your scriptures to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7? Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 and 7. Okay, let us read it together. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Amen. So whatever Moses was able to pass on to the people, they are supposed to put all those lessons in their hearts, so they must be educated themselves first. Then in verse 7, they should be able to teach them diligently unto their children. And it talks about the diligence in teaching. In the second half of the verse says, "Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." There is a home education. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That is the duty of Christian parents. Christian parents must be able to teach and educate their children from the things of God, the Word of God. That's their duty and their primary responsibility. In a sense, it requires a lot of things. If parents have not been taught from the things of God, if they have not been educated, if they have not taught themselves from the scriptures, how can they teach their children? So it requires a lot of diligent spiritual education on the part of the parents. If parents have never shown to their children about prayer, if children have never seen their parents to pray, then how can parents teach their children to pray? And if parents have not been reading the scriptures, have been doing devotional times and so on, and how our children will be able to learn all those things? Churches or schools are not the primary responsible institutes for Christian children's training and education, for their spiritual and moral developments, but parents. Especially Ephesians 6:4 emphasizes on the importance of the father's role in the children's education. Fathers must be involved in children's education very much deeply. Of course, mothers' influence on their children is extremely important. It is because mothers tend to spend more time with the children than fathers. And so I was told that in Israel, if the father is a Jewish and but mother is a Gentile, the child is not going to get Israeli citizenship. He's not going to be recognized as a Jew. However, if mother is Jewish and father is a Gentile, still the child is going to be recognized as a Jewish. It is because even they recognize the great deal of influence of mothers on the lives and the spiritual aspects of children. If we want to have godly children, it is a must that we must have godly wives for our children. So, not only father's responsibility is mentioned, we must understand that mother's influence is really important. In order to teach our children, we ought to be the students of God's word ourselves. Parents ought to teach their children diligently, as Deuteronomy says. Parents must teach right things to their children. They must repeat their lessons until their children will be finally able to digest and understand and practice them. Thus, it is important to open communication channels with their children since they are very young. When children are doing wrongs, then parents must correct them as soon as possible. Of course, they need to encourage them for their good things and even to challenge them at times to move forward. It is not a good idea to leave the children with someone else too often. And parents and grandparents, I think, are the best choices for children's upbringing. Children are quick to learn bad things. It is amazing. Who said that children are like angels, you know, all the time? Little ones can learn bad things very quickly, even though we have never tried to even teach those things to them. They learn. They are good learners, and parents are the best teachers for them. Children's education is the most sacred and important task given to the parents. Besides that, it is very laborious as well, because it requires a lot of work on the parents' side, and it will take a lot of years. Children's education is the most sacred one. May I give you a solemn warning here? There are things our children must learn. They should learn how to talk to other people. That may be a very simple thing, but they must be taught. And good manners, they must be taught. If they do not use the proper languages, if they do not use proper and good good manners, then eventually they will be they will be corrected and they will be taught by others in a humiliating way. And we do not want to let our children experience such a thing. Of course, children must learn spiritual things from their parents. If parents fail to teach their children right things, especially, eventually, they will learn them by others in more difficult and challenging ways. If they still will not learn, then the country will teach them, which will bring them much sorrows. So parents are the most responsible people for children's education. And the primary textbook for our children's education, I'm talking about Christian parents in Christian home, our children's education must be the Bible. I think this is an extremely important part of our learning. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way we should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." What can be the way that our children should go? It is to fear God and to believe in Jesus Christ and to live righteously, to honor God and to glorify Him. And all of them are found in the Bible. If we teach our children from the scriptures, then they will learn all of them. They will learn all of them. The scripture will teach our children, then they must love God and fear God. It is the way that they will grow into godliness. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Our children may be the masters of all the subjects we can find in this whole world, and they may be able to make all A-plus scores in every subject. But if they have not learned to fear God, the Bible says that they are only the fools before the eyes of the Lord." Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." So young people must learn to remember their Creator God, and that lesson must come from the Scriptures. The fundamental elements of Christian education, are teach our children to worship God and honor Him and to pray to Him, to read the Bible. Christian values and character must be promoted and taught before anything else. We have seen so many CEOs of large corporations and who have brought disgrace upon themselves because of their greed and bad character. Well-known people in academics and politics have been brought down because of their shameful secrets. However, Christian parents must teach their children to be conformed to the image of Christ. It is done by biblical education. And children's education must be started as early as possible. Let me just quickly look at my notes. Okay, let me talk about the scriptures. I hope that you will be able to encourage the children, your children, to read the Bible as early as possible. Parents must begin with their children's Christian education, I think, even when they are in their mother's wombs. Mothers and fathers need to pray even for their unborn babies. And one of the things that my wife did for the unborn children was that as soon as she found out that she was pregnant, and she spent a lot of time in reading the scriptures. So when she was reading the Bible, she was recording her voice. So she began to read the whole New Testament, then she began to read the Old Testament. And most of the books she recorded in the cassette tapes. And when children were born, when they were sleeping, when they were alone in their rooms, she played a cassette tape. So our babies were listening to mom's voice through the scriptural reading. So she spent time in a godly way by reading the scriptures and praying for children while she was pregnant. At the same time, when children were born, actually they received the benefits out of her Bible reading. So that was the way she prepared herself and she prepared our children. When children are born, you know, we must put them in our arms and we need to pray for them. And parents will sing hymns and praises unto God so that their babies will be able to hear their parents hymn singing. And that is the way that the children will naturally learn hymns and praises. When they are about 6 months old, parents begin to tell them Bible stories. And you may say, oh, they will now understand it. Of course they will now understand when they are about 6 months old. But still, it is a kind of habit. We want to put good habits into our children's lives. And from about 2 years old, parents need to encourage them to memorize the scripture verses. You will be surprised how those little ones, young ones, are able to memorize the scripture verses. For us, we do have, weekly scripture verses, and I'm not sure how many of you are still memorizing those verses. And probably most of you are not memorizing. And let us try to memorize. But it may take a lot of time for us to memorize those verses. But for children, if you read just two or three times, they will be able to memorize those verses. So do not miss Those golden opportunities for you to influence on the minds of your children by letting them memorize the scripture verses, they will do it very quickly, amazingly quickly. So encourage them to memorize the scripture verses. So give them some words piece by piece and they will put them all together and eventually they will be able to memorize. And when they are about 5 years old, parents should encourage them to begin to read the Bible by themselves. Of course, we are talking about children's Bible. We are trying to give them some habits to be near to the scriptures, to touch the scriptures and try to read the Bible and so on. So they may use a children's Bible with pictures and so on. From about 7 years old, when they are finally able to read the words and so on, children must have learned to read the Bible and to pray regularly. Of course, in the meantime, even though I'm giving you all these figures, you must know that there are big time, you know, span, you know, 2 years old, 5 years old, 7 years old. Every day, basically, we are doing something for our children so that the children will be able to learn that it is important for them to read the Bible. It is important for them to pray regularly. In the meantime, parents must give their efforts to teach their children in their homes. We have a children's version of a shorter catechism, questions and answers, and it is on the internet. And you may, you know, download them, and maybe you will encourage them to read those questions and answers. Maybe once a week you may deal with one question and one answer so that they may even memorize those questions and answers. Children's version. I'm not talking about adult version, you know, the very long ones. So over the years, you can repeat shorter catechism questions and answers. It is important. If children do not learn from the Bible, if we do not teach them from the scriptures, they will eventually learn, but they will learn from the world. And that is a bad thing. So before our children will be caught by the teaching from the world, we need to get them. Because we have opportunities to teach them in our homes. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 says, "And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." It says, Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he says, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." So, Timothy was educated and trained, taught by his mother and his grandmother from the scriptures. As a result, he had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy had received his religious education in his home. And sometimes some people are complaining about their spouses. Oh, you know, my husband or my wife, he or she is not helping me, and as a result, I'm trying to educate my children in the right manner and so on. But because of my spouse's least efforts putting into this children's education manner, I cannot do a right job and so on. Sometimes we are complaining about our spouses. And let me encourage you by saying that Timothy's father was a Greek Gentile. It seems that he was not a believer either. And so when Timothy's name is mentioned, as far as his faith, his home education is concerned, only his mother's name and grandmother's name are mentioned. So I hope that it will be an encouragement, just in case if you are the loner trying to get something done for children's spiritual life, I hope that it can be an encouragement. Timothy had received his religious education at home first from the scriptures. 1 Timothy 3:4 says that a Christian leader is the one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So when Christian young man is becoming mature and mature more and more, and eventually he may take up an important role within the church, Christian ministry and so on. He may become a leader of the church and so on. Here is one of the things that he must be aware. He should be able to rule well his own house. And he must be able to have his children in subjection with all gravity. And he should be able to teach his children from the scriptures well. So Christian children's education must begin early at home from the scriptures. And we have tried to encourage our children to read the scriptures since they were very young. And as soon as they were able to read, they began to read the Bible, they began to memorize the scriptures. And we were so surprised at the speed of scripture memorization done by the children. It's just amazing. You try it. You will be surprised. And they began to read the Bible, and we did not put our TVs in home. And so whenever they had an opportunity, they began to read the Bible. And sometimes a day, during school holidays, sometimes they read in a whole book of Genesis, 50 chapters. And by my first son reached the age of about 18 years old, he completed the scripture reading 18 times. And so by now, they have read the scriptures more number of times than the number of their ages. And that is possible. And I hope that you encourage your children to be able to read the Bible. It is good. Then you may say, then when they study? Well, there are plenty of time to study, even though they read the Bible. Reading the scriptures is not going to hurt their subject studies or character building. It is good for them. And encourage your children to read the Bible. Children's education must be built up their character. By reading the scriptures, it will be helped. Of course, our children must have good character, which must be built up over the years. We cannot produce well-behaving children overnight. It takes years of time. We must not pursue their academic excellence and career development and at the expenses of their good character. You know, I heard from a mother. I'm not going to say which country I heard that statement. And she said something like this. As long as my son or my children will make good grades, or other sins will be forgiven. So it doesn't matter how misbehave they are misbehaving, and how bad they are, how rebellious they are, how bad languages are they using, how stubborn they are, how wrongly they are doing whatever, as long as they make good grades, every sin is forgivable. Well, I'm a believer of Christian excellence. I believe that Christian must pursue the course of excellence for God's glory. Therefore, I do not like slackness or laziness in Christian life. I do not want to see that our Christian children will grow up to shine. I want to see that our Christian children will grow up to shine their lights to the whole world for God's glory and honor. However, their character should not be a victim of their successes in the world. Parents ought to teach them about patience, faithfulness, meekness, conciliatory attitude, or good speeches. You know, how simple were those things, you know, please, thank you, sorry, excuse me. Parents also need to help them to increase their knowledge and to develop well-balanced emotions and a sound will. For example, it is always good to encourage our children to read books. Encourage them to read books. It will be good to listen to their good music and to have right table manners, proper hobbies, or orderly life. It is, in fact, you know, reading good books is a good thing. So once after you can get rid of TVs and too much games and so on, you can encourage your children to be able to read the books. And once after they have habits in reading books, that will be fantastic. So by encouraging children to read the Bible, eventually they are building up reading habits as well. Once after they have the reading habits, they are so excited for reading, and they are looking for good reading materials, which is a very good hobby, in fact. That is a very good interest. As our children are growing up and they were reading the scriptures, and if there is no book around, in fact, they begin to read encyclopedias. And there was a reading competition when our son was in primary school 2 or 3. There was a reading competition in the class for 2 weeks and how many pages they can read. So they were supposed to trace the number of pages that they have been reading and so on. In 2 weeks, my son read about 12,000 pages. And that reading habit encourage them to read more and more. So reading speed is just incredibly faster and faster it becomes. And the more he read, the more he desired to read. And when he went to the primary school in Australia, he was reading all the books from the library. And in the last year, librarian came to him with catalogs, and actually he was asked to choose the books to read because there was a budget assigned for library, and librarian had to buy books, and she wasn't sure what to buy, so she brought the catalogs to my son, and so he chose the books, school bought up books, and he read them all. Reading is a good thing, so encourage the children to read. That is good. And showing examples is the best way to educate the children. While you are watching TV, you cannot encourage your children to read books. They will watch TV together with you, because that's the example that you have set before him and before them. Jesus told us to learn of him in Matthew 11:49. Paul quite frequently said to follow of me in 1 Corinthians 16. Paul spoke to Titus in Titus chapter 2 verse 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. The mind of our children is like white papers, and whatever you are going to write on their hearts, they will learn. Learn it. Learn the lessons from you. Therefore, it is important for parents to show good and godly examples to their children. When there is a prayer meeting, I hope the parents are coming to the prayer meeting. As a result, by that example, children are gradually learning that prayer meetings are important for Christians and Christian ministries. When parents are reading the scriptures, they know that reading the scriptures is a very important part of their Christian living, so they begin to read the Bible. So, good examples before children. If parents expect their children to become godly Christians while they are not following the steps of Jesus, then they are obviously daydreaming. It is also important that parents should not fight before their children and talk about others before them. Please don't do it. Obviously, there are some times that husband and wife may have some conflicts, but do not fight before children. That is not their business. And so parents, the couples must go somewhere or, you know, remove themselves from the presence of children and do those whatever businesses some other places, so children will not grow with all those conflicts at home between father and mother. It is also important to make sure that parents' discipline on their children must be reasonable. Disciplinary action must not going to be given unreasonably and wrongly. There has to be right reason. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." So provoke anger is something. That is not a discipline. And so discipline must be done. Then you may say, "Pastor Key, have you been a perfect father?" And I must say, oh, I have so many things to confess. And a few years ago, my family went somewhere for our break. Actually, that was the time when I made up my mind to leave Adelaide. So I knew that sooner or later we will have to part with our children. So we decided to take a few days for family holidays. And one of the days was Sunday. So on Sundays, we do not go out. So Sunday, we stayed in our hotel room, and we decided to have our own worship because we could not find the church around that area. So I asked the children to lead a kind of a devotion for all of us. And they were hesitant initially. Then they were kind of encouraged. So they said, okay. Then they read this portion of scriptures. Then, well, the first point that we want to share with you, parents, is that I think you should apologize for all those unnecessary disciplines you have done to us. Of course, they have grown up already, and they understood the meanings and so on. Then they decided to recount all those stories. And I kept on saying, I don't remember. But some of them I remembered, some of them I didn't. There are times when we make our mistakes. I think we have to be very honest in that matter. And I think we have to be willing to say sorry to our children if we know that we have done things wrongly. And the principle is that parents' discipline on their children must be reasonable. It should be understood why they have to be disciplined. Parents are not perfect. And, parents do make a lot of mistakes and errors. Therefore, when parents have made mistakes, they should be willing to say sorry. By which we can teach our children that we as parents are not perfect, but only try to be conformed to the image of Christ. We want to be shown as honest parents, not as hypocrites to our children. We should not fear to apologize to our children if we have failed. Parents ought to teach their children in specific ways. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." The education is very important. My wife is away, and really I have not cooked at all, so I do not know how to cook. But in a desperate night, I'm craving for some food. I was dwelling sometimes to go out to buy something, but I was counting the money, and I thought, no, I'm not going to go out. Then I tried to do something, and immediately I recognized that I was trying to remember what my wife had done when she was cooking certain things, and I was trying to remember. Well, oftentimes children are doing exactly the same thing. Have you ever noticed that, parents, your children are behaving exactly just like you? They have learned those traits from you. Proverbs 22 verse 6, that verse says that we ought to train our children in the way they should go. Parents do not leave their children to make their own choices. There is a time, I think, when children can make their decisions. But parents are not supposed to leave all the rights and authorities to the children to make their own decisions every time. Parents must teach their children from the whole counsel of God. They can learn much better than even we can imagine, in fact. My second son was about 7 years old, and he has been reading the Bible. And one day, he came to me and he said that, I have a question about Samson. Samson is a Nazarene, and he was not supposed to drink wine, he was not supposed to cut his hairs, he was not supposed to touch dead bodies and so on. Don't you know? Don't you know it? So I said, oh yeah, I know. And he said, I was reading the book of Judges. He was about 7 years old, and I was reading the book of Judges, and I noticed that when Samson fought against the Philistines, he used the ass's bone, jawbone. Don't you think that is a part of dead body? And he touched it, he used it, but God gave him a victory, and there is no rebuke whatsoever from God. Why is it so? I was thinking very hard. I think during that time I was doing my PhD. I couldn't figure out the answer immediately. And here is a 7 years old child raising a question. I have never thought about it. And I said to him, well, I don't know. And I'll think about it. Little ones can use their imaginations while they are reading the Bible. And they can bring up, a lot of challenging questions. If you have done, Sunday school teaching, work, probably you have seen some of those things. Teaching alone is not sufficient. Parents ought to supervise their children basically in every aspect of their growth. For example, what time do they come home from, after school? Obviously, here, a lot of parents are picking them up from their schools, so it may not be a problem. But who are their best friends? And where are they going if they are invited, if their friends are inviting them for birthday parties and so on? When they are little, it may not be a big problem, but when they are going through puberty age, teenagers and so on, some of the parents are very lax. Very loose. So here, maybe friends are not the problems, but friends' parents can be problems. So you leave your child with the friends, your children's friends and their parents and so on. Maybe children are okay, but parents may not be okay. So as a result, in fact, your children may get wrong influences from their parents, those parents. And what kind of toys they play with, and their books and hobbies need to be checked. When my boys were reading books so eagerly, I was very happy. And so I said, you know, come along, you know, read more and more. And later on, I found out that it was a Harry Potter series. And I never heard about Harry Potter, you know, stories. And while they were reading the books, I asked them how it was. And they said it was fascinating. It's very good. And they were really fully absorbed into that book. And I thought it was good. And then later on, I found that it was Harry Potter's. It is important for us to check what they are doing. What kind of TV programs do they watch? What kind of computer games do they like and play? What kind of relationship do they have with opposite sex? Parents need to get involved in children's lives as much as possible until they grow up to be able to make their own decisions. There will be a time when they have to make their own decisions. Sometimes children may not be happy with their parents because of their expectations and differences. However, even though children cannot understand the parents, children disagree with their parents, their reaction has to be always in a respectful form. This respectful attitude must not be ignored, but that sort of thing must be dealt with. Disrespectful words or any sort of physical violence must be accurately and properly dealt with while they are still young. Once after they reach a certain age, no amount of disciplinary actions will produce any result. They must learn that, children must learn that there are always consequences on their actions and decisions. And so now we come to the discipline section. Proper discipline is important. We need to discipline our children in a proper manner, in the most reasonable way, if necessary. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." So in other words, there is a time when we have to discipline our children. Proverbs 20:30 says, "The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly." Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Proverbs 23:13 says, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell." So there has to be proper way to discipline our children. You know, probably I shared the story with you before, and when I was doing my studies, we lived in a trailer house. It was a very small space. And around the walls, I had bookshelves and I had a lot of books. And my boy began to crawl around. And he was about 10 months old and he was crawling. And it was really fun for him to take the book out and tear it. It was real fun, you know. It's nice. So whenever he had an opportunity, he was crawling to the bookshelves, took the books out, and he was tearing. And when my wife saw that, she called him and she smacked on his face, on his hand. "No, it's no good. Don't do it." Then it didn't make him happy, obviously. He was crying. But from next time and onwards, whenever he was crawling toward the bookshelves, before he touched the books, he looked back and he was staring at Mom for approval. "Is it okay?" And Mom says, "No." Then he stopped. That's the effect of proper discipline. And if we discipline our children when they are young, in a small way, we can correct their problems. But if we are just leaving those problems alone without correcting them, as they are getting older and older, it's getting harder and harder. And once after they begin to resist the instructions and disciplines from their parents or parental authority, they will not listen. And it will bring very heartbreaking and inevitable clashes and conflicts between parents and children. So early education is the best. When they are still young, you are able to mold their character. So teach them to pray. Teach them to read. Teach them to honor parents. Teach them to use right words and attitudes. I understand that some educators have promoted an idea that discipline doesn't work. Therefore, everything must be discussed with children and they must make their own decisions and so on. But I must say this. If parents do not discipline their children, though they have wronged, they do not love their children. That is the worst kind of way that they can show their love or affection to their children. They are, in fact, destroying their children's future. Of course, there are a few things we ought to be careful with. Parents should not discipline them unreasonably. We should not use our wrong temperament to do anything against our children. Parents should not discipline their children in public. That is no good. You know, each and every one of our children is a person. And as a person, there has to be proper respect given to them. Even children know their shameful moments. And they know that they are humiliated if they are disciplined in a public place and don't do it. Things must be done in private. Their privacy must be honored. Parents must deal with their children's problem immediately without delays, right away. Discipline must be consistent. One time child is disciplined or corrected and the other time it's allowed. No, that gives a wrong signal to the children. Discipline should not be a kind of joke or laughing. You know, while we are joking and laughing or smiling and so on, we are trying to discipline. No, that does not have any point in terms of discipline. In case of discipline, both parents must be in agreement. So father wants to discipline a child and mother says, no, why you are doing that? So in front of children, if there is any disagreement shown, it gives, again, a wrong signal to the children. Children are very smart. They are coming to mom. Mom, can I do blah, blah, blah? No. Then he goes, you know, the child goes to the father. Father, without telling him that he has already discussed the matter with mom, blah, blah, blah. Then father says, okay. It's a problem too. So there has to be always an agreement, especially when it comes down to the matter of discipline. Sometimes I saw grandparents, when I had to discipline my children, my father, oh, he was really sad. And if I was ready to discipline my children, my father was very upset and very angry. And she walked out of the place, you know, without telling anything, without saying anything. And she did not want to interrupt me, but at the same time, he wanted to show me that he was not very happy about the matter. But if he showed it before children, then children will get wrong ideas. So eventually, our problem will become, you know, myself and my father's problem. And so the problems are being transferred from one relationship to another relationship. There has to be an agreement. If a mother feels that there has to be discipline, and I think there has to be a proper discussion, of course, and once after disciplinary action is started, there has to be full agreement with the husband. And so, in case of repeated wrongs, strong discipline must be followed so that problems can be corrected. Mistakes and willful wrongs must be differentiated. Sometimes the children may make mistakes. And for genuine mistakes, if we discipline them, that is a problem. That is a wrong thing. We are all human beings. We do make mistakes. Therefore, for example, if a child is, you know, carrying glass of water, and he tipped over and he spilled the water on your clothes or on your dress or on the carpet, and you are very upset. You know, I just cleaned it. I just changed my dress. You spilt it over me. If that is maybe a juice or something like that, you may be even angrier than water. Well, but genuine mistakes must be recognized. And mistakes should not be disciplined. It's a mistake. So mistakes and willful wrongs must be differentiated. Parents need to explain to their children about the reason why they need disciplines. The spirit of love must be present in any manner of discipline. And there must be a healing process by love and prayer. So whenever we have to discipline our children, always at the end of the session, we hug them and we told them how much we love them and we prayed together. And sometimes we prayed for them, sometimes they prayed for us, and we ended the session. Prayer to God for our children is important. Even though we have done everything possible, we cannot everything to happen as we wish. Who could have imagined that a villain like Manasseh was born from a godly king Hezekiah? Who could have imagined that a godly king Josiah was born from such an evil person like a king Manasseh? Though parents do their very best to educate and train their children in the most godly manner, there is no way to train them rightly apart from the grace of God. If even though we have done our very best to educate them in a Christian way from the Christian truths and so on, if they choose to follow a sinful ways, that is beyond our abilities. And that's why we need the grace of God. Therefore, parents must commit their children to God and pray for them diligently. Psalm 71 verse 17 says, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. And we must depend on His grace. Secondly, there are things that we need to avoid if we want to raise our children in the way that we ought to. Number one is television. Television is your enemy, but do not love it. You know, even though the Bible says love your enemy, this is not something that you have to love. You are not obligated to love your enemy in this case. Well, television can be used in a useful way and a productive way. I think there are good programs that we can watch. But in terms of raising a child, television can be very harmful. It is an undeniable fact that television has large effects on a small number of individuals and modest effects on a large number of people. Jim Morrison said in his poem, An American Prayer, in quote, Do you know we are ruled by TV? End of quote. President George W. Bush, he said in during C-SPAN interview session in January year 2005, said this, in quote, They put an off button on the TV for a reason. Turn it off. I really don't watch much TV. End of quote. The Kaiser Family Foundation reports American children and adolescents spend 22 to 28 hours per week viewing television, more than any other activity except sleeping. By the age of 70, they will have spent 7 to 10 years of their lives watching TV. And obviously, these days, a lot of kids are switching their attention from TV to Internet. I do not have any data about the average watching time by British children at the moment. However, Mark Sweeney reported in the Guardian newspaper on May 4th, year 2010, that British viewers watch their TVs average of 4 hours and 18 minutes a day. Jamie Raskin, American University law professor, November year 2004 on the Democracy Now! Radio program said, in quote, "Everybody's got values. The thing that frightens me is the way that an eroding public school system and television on all over the place is leading to a steady dumbing down of the American public and a corrosion of basic critical thinking in the population," end of quote. So TV is giving away its own values. Negative influence from the media is one of the greatest threats to families in our communities. The media can wreak great harm on our families when it comes down to the issues such as life, family, religion, or morality. How often those TV programs, you know, those actors are using blasphemous words. And the wrong kinds of lifestyles, homosexuality is being kind of joked about, and in a sense of if you speak against it, actually you are intolerant, person, and things like that. And so all those little pieces are coming into the minds of our young people, young minds, our children. We do not want to teach our children such things, but by leaving them before TV, actually we are giving them opportunities to be exposed to such matters. By watching TV programs, our children are learning what they are supposed to learn. We have never taught them. Well, they have been taught before TV, before internet, from internet. They see violence, sexual promiscuity, rape, abusive languages, and many other undesirable things normally we do not want to encourage our children to know about. People argue that children may learn many good things from televisions too. Yes, that is true. However, we ought to know that every program has its own philosophy and its agendas. One thing is very sure. It does not promote Christian values. It does not. A few months ago there was a BBC program about some archaeological presentations and so on. And the presenter was a female, scholar with a PhD. And basically her presupposition is that all those historical data in the Bible are just fabricated and false. And such a program was broadcasted on national TV. How bad that is. By watching these programs, our children are getting desensitized about sinful things, which is a fearful beginning to fall into their traps. By the way, if there is any Muslim programs with the same tone, I'm sure that BBC is going to be destroyed by the bunch of people who are going after the presenter and producer. But Christians, how lovingly and affectionately they say, it's bad, and that's it. There is no protest, and we're still watching. It is true that crime rate has gone up dramatically since TV sets were introduced into our living rooms. Especially if you have a television set in your children's bedrooms, welcome to the calamities. That is the fastest way to bring down a lot of things that you have been trying to set up. Cut off the TV time to the minimal and be very careful with what you and your children are watching. And, I think retirees are different. I'm sure that they want to spend their time more meaningful ways. However, especially when children are around, it is not a good idea to spend too much time to watch TV programs. And especially there are a lot of programs that really parents and children are not supposed to watch together. When I am talking about TVs, I'm also including internet surfing. Some people may argue that television is good for educational purposes. This thought brings us to raise a question. Does television program teach our children? Well, the answer is an emphatic yes. It is because television does make a great impact on our minds. If really TV is not influential, TV does not make any influence on our minds, then why so many big companies are spending millions of pounds, billions of pounds per year just to advertise certain things if TVs are not so effective to influence on the minds of the people? Televisions can teach, illuminate, and inspire our children. However, televisions cannot control us if we do not want to be controlled by them. We have a power to turn them off. Marshall McLuhan said this, in quote, "Television is teaching all the time. It does more educating than the schools and all the institutions of higher learning," end of quote. As someone said, television is basically teaching whether you want it or not. While you are watching any program, it may not be very funny, it is not interesting, but still your eyes are glued to the TV screen. And you know that it's not really interesting, and sometimes you are wondering why you are watching such a program, but still you are glued to TV set. Unfortunately, a great deal of children's programming does not teach children what most parents and teachers want them to learn. According to one research, approximately 90% of the time, children watch programs which are not specifically designed for them at all. Surprisingly, the programs which are especially designed for children, such as cartoons, are the most violent of all programs. Therefore, do not let televisions teach your children about morality, about ethics, about sex, about love, about values. All those subjects are supposed to be taught by you in your homes. Once after you lose your children to televisions, computer games, videos, then you will have to walk on the torturous path to bring them back. It is easy to lose them, but it is very hard to get them back. Secondly, material consumerism. There is a funny story about a girl who was born into a very rich family. One day during her primary school years, her teacher gave an assignment to her to write about poverty. So the whole classmates, the whole students were supposed to write a paper about the poverty. And on the following day, she submitted a paper with a wonderful story. "I am very poor, and my family is poor too. My nanny is poor, my gardener is poor, my driver is poor, my chef is poor. I think everybody is poor in my family." Well, one of the most dangerous enemies to our children's education is materialism, or rather material consumerism. Children in shopping centers are demanding and threatening their parents and yelling at them, and parents are embarrassed and they want to shout at them, but still, children do not listen to them. And children are really smart. When they are together with parents alone, they tend to be quieter. But when they are in the open place, public place, when they know that their parents are going to be embarrassed, they tend to shout more. So as a result, they are trying to put pressure on the parents so that they cannot but buy the things for what they want them to buy for them. Some parents try to soothe their children by buying endless gifts to them. And I saw one family, This child didn't want to study. But parents are spending a lot of money in a private school to educate the son. But he didn't want to study. But whenever new kind of a toy coming up, computer games or something like that, he makes a deal with the mother. "Mom, I'm sorry that I have been misbehaving. I'll be good if you buy a computer game." So mom says, no, I cannot do that. No, I'm not going to buy it. You are not studying already, so I cannot buy your game." But then he says, I'm going to stop being goof off. I'm going to study, very diligently if you buy me this gift. And mom says, are you sure? Do you promise? And then the child says, oh, yes, I promise, you know. I promise. Well, buys him a computer game, and the effect goes on for a couple of days. Then he went right back to his old life. And the threats are coming back again when there is a new toy coming up. When children do not listen to the parents, sometimes the parents are promising them to give extra gifts. Always material things are related to their relationship with their children. You obey, then I will buy you gifts. So buying obedience from their children. Such things must be stopped. It is not good. Instead, they must be trained to have proper sense of values. Parents should not let their children take anything for granted. Children must know to thank you to their parents. They should be grateful for what they are doing for them. What I'm trying to say is that we should not nurture and bring up our children just with money. You have problems? Okay, I'll buy this one. And you behave okay? No. Then they will lose the sight of spiritual life, and soon they will live for material gains and money. And money will be their gods and goddesses. They will exchange their virtues with money. The Lord Jesus said that no one is able to serve both mammon and God at the same time. If you do not want to lose your children, let them have priorities straight. Priorities. Some people may misunderstand me by saying that if children do not spend money, they have right values. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if they accumulate their money without knowing how to spend and when to spend it, it is also a picture of materialism. It is because they are living only for bigger figures in the savings account. Right values of material things must be taught. In our case, we really didn't have an opportunity even to exercise consumerism or materialism because we didn't have much. We used the second-hand materials donated to the churches for their clothing and their shoes and so on, up until like a primary school, five, I think. Around that time, we haven't really bought new clothes for them. But they didn't lose out anything by doing that. Actually, they were able to learn values of money and how to use it. They carefully save their money, whatever is given to them, a few cents and a couple of dollars and so on. And we decided to bring them to Cambodia for our family missions trip. And when they visited one particular family, and Cambodia is really hot, just like Malaysia in summertime, you know, you understand how hot that is. And it's really dusty and air is really polluted. And the missionary there working in Phnom Penh did not have an air conditioner. And it was so difficult for us to sleep there. And my boys were coming up with an idea that they should buy an air conditioner for the missionaries. So they took all the money out from their piggy banks and their bank account. And they bought an air conditioner for the missionaries. And I think that was one of the highlights with which that gave us much delight as we have raised our children. They have to learn right values. We should never raise our children with just material things. Sometimes teaching values is very hard. So whenever there is a problem, we try to soothe, encourage, comfort our children with material gains. If you do this, we do that, and so on. So there is always a kind of, you know, correction and gifts kind of thing. So rather than children are learning the true values of those corrections, they are learning the gains out of those corrections, material gains. And that is not the truest sense of education. Children must respect and honor their parents. They have duties to fulfill the fifth commandment. However, children also need to be taught to be able to obey the commandments. So, I'm finishing up my message. I read the news article a couple of days ago, and apparently there is a restaurant in America that banned anybody with children under 6 years old from coming into the restaurant anymore, because the restaurant owner was sick and tired of misbehaving children under 6 years old. They are just running around in the restaurant. They are shouting, they are yelling, but parents just leave them alone. Parents do not give them proper discipline or correction. As a result, the children are just free to run around in the restaurant. And so the restaurant owner was just sick and tired of those misbehaviors. So he banned anybody coming with children under 6 years old. And there were kind of pros and cons debates and so on. And the news article says that actually he has received about 20% more customers than before. And a lot of letters are coming to him with encouraging words. That's it. That's right. You know, that's the right thing for you to do. And a lot of restaurant owners are sending him letters that they are going to do the same thing. Why such a thing happened? It is because parents have failed to educate them with proper manners and proper behaviors and speeches. And as a result, they are being punished in a way. So people with children under 6 years old, please don't come. Let us remember and know that it is a challenge. I will not say that this is an easy work. However, this is a rewarding work. Many a times we may have to cry while we are raising our children in the righteous way. However, there is a worthy crying and weeping and tears. And I hope that we will be able to honor the fifth commandment by honoring and respecting our parents. At the same time, if we are parents, we will be able to educate and train our children in the right ways. Let us look to the Lord in prayer.